We read the scriptures together this afternoon in Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want or lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I call your attention to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in this concluding portion of the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, he writes in verse 10 that he rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Paul tells them that he was rejoicing over a certain gift that they sent to him. He was currently in prison in Rome. And the saints in Philippi, many hundreds of miles away, sent to him a gift by the hands of a friend named Epaphroditus. And Paul now tells them in this letter, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly when I received your gift. But he wants to make sure that they understand the reason that he rejoiced about receiving that gift was not so much about himself. Although, of course, when you receive a gift, you feel loved and you rejoice. It's a blessing. But he wants them to realize that the main reason for his joy was not that he benefited from the gift, but rather the main reason for his joy was that the sending of the gift demonstrated the love in their hearts for him, which was a proof that the gospel was having an effect on their lives. That was what really brought joy to his heart. Notice verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift. It's not as if I was sitting here hoping and waiting for a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This gift is a fruit that shows that the gospel I preached to you is having an effect. And I rejoice. But he also wants to make sure that they realize that he's doing just fine. Regarding himself, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm not speaking in respect to want, as if I lack something, he says. No, I have learned how to be abased, that is, how to be humiliated, how to be at the bottom of the barrel, and I know how to abound. I know how to have much. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed by the Lord both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And after he states those things, he says the words of our text. And in these words, he is confessing the source of his strength. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So let's consider that together under the theme, strong to do all things through Christ. We'll notice, first of all, what this means. Secondly, how this can be. And thirdly, who can say this? Well, the confident confession of the apostle in our text, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, might lead some people to think and to dream that they can do extraordinary things, perhaps even signs, wonders, and miracles through the power of Christ. After all, Christ himself once said to his disciples, Matthew 17, verse 20, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So we read verses like that, and then we read the verse of our text, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And some might think, no doubt some do think, that this means they can do anything through the power and by the name of Christ. But as with all of Scripture, we have to understand it and explain it in the light of the context. And then we will notice very quickly that Paul is not saying, I can do absolutely anything I want to do through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's not what he means. He's not saying, if I want to, I can talk to that mountain over there and it will jump off the earth and fly away. Or if I want to, I can just jump up and spread wings and start flying into the sky through the power of Christ. Or I could stand on the shore of the ocean and jump all the way across the ocean through the power of Christ if I want to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not what he means. If someone could do that, then that person would be God. Because only God can do absolutely all things whatsoever He pleases, whatever He wants to do. That's part of the revelation of who God is. That's the attribute of omnipotence. Only the Almighty can do anything He wants to do. Paul's not saying that. But Paul is not even saying that he is able to do miracles through the power of Christ. Although Paul did do miracles in the name of Christ, healing the sick, casting out demons, and so forth. But that's not what he's talking about. When we look at the context, what do we learn? The context, Paul has just been talking about this gift that the Philippian saints had sent to him, and he rejoiced over it because it showed that they were truly moved by the gospel and wanted to love their neighbor, wanted to abound in good works of love. And then Paul says, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not talking about lack. I don't lack anything. I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the strength to be content in all things. I can do all things. I can be in all circumstances, in any situation of life, through the power of Christ. And a more literal translation of the text helps us to understand that. Literally, Paul says in our text, I am strong in all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I am strong in all things. That is, I am strong to be content in all situations of life. And that's what contentment is. Christian contentment is the strength to rejoice in the Lord always. It is the strength to be anxious about nothing. It's the strength to be satisfied whether we have much or little, riches or poverty, health or sickness, sadness or happiness. That's what the apostle has laid out in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. At the time when Paul was saying this, he was a prisoner in Rome. But he can remember happier times of his life. He can remember times when things went well, when he was free, when he could eat to the full, when he could read books and study and enjoy fellowship and companionship with others. And he says, I know how to do that. I know what that's like. I've been there. I've experienced that. And I can do that. I'm strong to abound, to be full, to prosper. And we might think to ourselves, well, that part of it is pretty obvious. But it's not that obvious. If you really understand what he means, how many people who have riches and health and strength are content? It doesn't go without saying that if you have a lot, then you will be content. But Paul is saying, I know how to be content also when I have much. That is, I know how to live a life of humble thanksgiving to the Lord, not boasting about my riches, not bragging about my prosperity, not taking credit for it, not trusting in my riches. But I know how to be content and thankful when things go well. But now he's a prisoner. Now he's shackled up in chains in Rome. And after a long period of getting to Rome, he had been a prisoner in Caesarea for how long? A year or two? And then he appealed to Caesar and he was placed on that prisoner ship. And the prisoner ship traveled through the Mediterranean Sea and eventually it went into a storm and it was shipwrecked and he nearly drowned. He was bit by a viper on an island. Finally, he is brought to Rome. He went through all of these things. And that was after his other missionary journeys. when he was captured and imprisoned and beaten and stoned. He had experienced both the good times and the hard times. And he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I am strong in all situations through Christ who strengthens me. And that means that in those hard times, he has learned how to be patient. He has learned how to trust in the Lord. He has learned how to believe in the goodness of God. And he has learned how to endure through trials. So that's what the apostle means when he says, I can do all things. What about you? What about me? If we would apply it to ourselves today, we could refer to other experiences. The person who says these words is a person who knows what it is like to experience both the good and the hard things of life. And he or she has learned how to be strong in and through them. He's able to say, or she, I am strong when I'm mocked, when I'm bullied at school, when other people make fun of me and tease and ridicule me and beat me down with their words. I can do all things. I'm able to take rejection. I'm able to take it when people ignore me or when I'm neglected. But I can also be strong when I'm loved, when I'm accepted, when I'm embraced by loving parents and siblings and friends, so that I'm surrounded by friendship and companionship and the warmth and love of home and family. I can do all things. I know what it is like to be alone. I am strong to be alone. Whether that loneliness means I'm a single young person, not yet married, but longing for that fellowship of marriage, or whether I'm someone who has been married and is now a widow or widower, I'm strong. I can do all things. But I'm also able to enjoy that blessing of marriage. I'm strong to receive the hard news that I'm going to be fired from my job, or that my wages are going to be lowered, or that the economy is shifting and I'm not going to have as much money as I used to. I can do that. I won't fall to pieces. But I'm also strong to hear from my boss the amazing sweet words that I'm being promoted, that I'm going to get a higher wage and a higher level in the company. I can do that too. And you say again, well, of course, that's the easy thing. But spiritually, not so easy. To be told you're going to get more money, you're going to have more power, more in your pocket. To be able to do that, to be strong, to do that without gloating, without boasting, without spending that extra money on yourself, but using that money for the good of others, for the poor and the church and the causes of the kingdom. But Paul says, I can do all things. I'm able to receive a diagnosis from my doctor that after all these years, it's come to this, and now I have a terminal illness. And this is an illness that perhaps I can treat for a time, but probably I will not survive. I can be strong to receive that news. I can also be strong to receive the news that after many treatments and chemotherapy, I'm free from cancer. The cancer has been eradicated. And as far as they can tell, I'm healthy and strong again. I can do all things without murmuring, without boasting, without complaining, but with patience, with contentment, with trust. Not spending prosperity on the carnal treasures and pleasures of the world, but I'm strong to be rich and to be poor, to be hungry and to be full, and in all things to be faithful to the Lord. Now, the person who says these words doesn't mean by them that he or she can do all things perfectly. That's not what the person means who says these words. I can do all things all the time perfectly. Because the person who says these words also knows that he doesn't and she doesn't do that. Paul said these words. He's the same person who said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So the person who says this is not claiming the ability to do all things perfectly all the time, but rather he's claiming to be content in all circumstances. This is what he or she has learned. And how can this be? We might even wonder and ask whether it's correct, doctrinally correct even, for a Christian to say, "I can do all things." Well, of course, if that's all that you say, then that wouldn't be correct, would it? If you leave off the last part of the verse, then you're making a grievous mistake. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." What can I do? What can you do without Christ? He tells us, nothing. Am I strong in myself? Do I have the strength in myself to do all things, to be content in all circumstances? Do I have the strength in prosperity and adversity, in riches and poverty, to stay faithful to God? No. By nature, I cannot. I am totally powerless. You are too. You have no strength. Zero strength. All we have the strength to do is sin. We are totally depraved in ourselves. Totally corrupt. Remember, Paul, the same one who said these words, said after he was already regenerated, "O wretched man that I am," he recognized the wretchedness of his nature, the powerlessness, the wickedness. And that by nature we can't do anything good. We can't be content. We can't be patient. We can't trust in God. All that we can do is murmur. Think of the children of Israel walking through the wilderness. That's us, marching through the wilderness. And time again, did they say, "I'm content. There's no water here. Well, I'm content and I trust that God will provide us with water. There's no food here. Well, I'm content. I'm sure that the Lord will provide for us." Again and again, that's not what they said. They revealed the weakness of their nature. That's our nature too. It's shameful how quickly we can complain about the smallest, slightest discomfort, the slightest inconvenience or frustration in our lives. And we get angry and we start to murmur. No, we're not strong in ourselves at all. And let us confess. Let's not be fools. Let's confess. I'm a weak and wretched sinner. And then let's flee to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness in the blood. And when we get up then let us confess the truth of the matter. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, not through my own strength. I can be content through Christ, only through Christ. Christ is the source of my strength, all of my strength, in life, in death, in riches, in poverty, in fullness, and in lack. In 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, Paul said, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," that is, in your weakness. Paul had this thorn in his flesh, this messenger of Satan that buffeted and bothered him, and he cried out to the Lord 3 times, "Please remove the thorn in my flesh." But God said, "No, my grace is sufficient." Because when you are weak, when you are struggling, when you are floundering with your adversities, then my power is manifested. My power is glorified and not yours. Then you are shown to be what you are in yourself, weak and needy and dependent. And I am shown to be the source of all of your strength, all of your power. And you will trust in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But now don't neglect to see that this is a confession, a personal confession. I can do all things. I am strong through Christ who strengthens me. Because Christ strengthens me. Me as a person, as an individual with a body and a mind and a soul. He comes into me by His Spirit and strengthens me so that I can say, I am strong through Christ and through Christ alone. How does Christ strengthen us? First and foremost, He strengthens us through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the holy sacraments. These are the chief means by which Christ strengthens us. Does He not strengthen us in our inner man, in our deepest heart and soul, from the inside out, when He proclaims to us the promise of His love? When He proclaims to us from the pulpit that He loves us. I love you, and I loved you so much that I gave my life for you on the cross. I laid down my body for you. I gave it to be broken for you, and I shed my blood for you because of my love. That proclamation of the love of Christ comes in through our ears and down into our hearts. And when we lay hold of it by faith, we are strengthened. We're strengthened with the assurance that I am accepted by the Lord of all the earth. I am loved by the God of heaven and earth. I am secure in my relationship with God. No matter what happens, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That strengthens us like nothing else. When He promises us through the preaching that when He gave Himself for us on the cross, He took all of our sins upon Himself. All of our sins onto His shoulders. And they were imputed to Him. And He bore their guilt. And He suffered the wrath of God that we deserved. He descended into hell for us. He took all of that suffering and wrath upon Himself and bore it away for all eternity, so that now in the blood of Christ I am justified. I am forgiven, washed, redeemed, reconciled. And all my sins are forever forgiven. That strengthens us in our inner man. It gives peace, a peace that passes understanding. I am at peace with God. And when He promises to us through the preaching that after this brief life, He's going to take us to be where He is. He's preparing a place for us in Father's house of many mansions. And there's a place that He's preparing there just for me and just for you. And when that place is ready, and when you're ready for that place, He's going to come and He's going to snatch us out of this life. He's going to take our souls up into glory, and He's going to show us this beautiful mansion and say, "This is yours. This is your place." And we'll get to walk through the streets of gold in the heavenly kingdom with the saints and angels and come before the throne of the Father and there see the glory of God displayed in all of its beauty and wonder. And hear the songs of the angels crying out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that He's going to raise our bodies from the dead on the last, that great and glorious day. And He'll take us into the world that is not yet made. The world that will never end. The new heavens and the new earth. And there will be peace and righteousness and happiness for all eternity. When He preaches that to us, it strengthens us. It gives faith and hope and joy and contentment. When Christ comforts us through the preaching and seals it with the sacraments, that because of this relationship that He has forged between God and us through His blood, therefore we belong, body and soul, to Jesus Christ, so that no matter what happens, He's there with us. He's there for us, walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death, walking with us through trials of fire and trials of floods, afflictions, sorrows, disappointments. And He is working all these things together for our good. Even as a master painter making the portrait of your life is a beautiful masterpiece to the glory of God. That strengthens us, no matter what we're going through. It strengthens us in faith and hope and joy. And yes, contentment. It makes the Christian able to say with Job, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." And then too, Christ strengthens us through prayer. Paul tells us in this passage in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." In everything. In every situation, every circumstance, in riches and in poverty, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. He strengthens us through singing. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. How do we rejoice? We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We make melody in our hearts to the Lord and with our mouths. And that too, Christ uses as a means to strengthen us. He strengthens us too through quiet spiritual meditation. He says in verses 8 and 9, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honest, just, whatever is pure, lovely, and good, think on those things. Let your mind be filled with those things. Meditate on those things in the quiet time before bed at night. And in the quiet times in the truck during the day, and whenever you're alone with your thoughts, think on these things and do them. And what will happen? Verse 9, "The God of peace shall be with you." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who can make this confession? Paul made it. Everyone who is joined to Christ by a true and living faith can make this confession. Some of God's children do not feel that they can make this confession sometimes. Sometimes we feel crushed under a burden of affliction. Sometimes we feel so crushed that we feel hopeless, and we're tempted day by day to say, I can't do this. I can't. I can't deal with this. I can't handle this. I can't carry this cross. It's too much. It's too heavy. Other Christians don't believe they can say these words personally because they don't feel that they have experienced enough affliction in their lives to be able to say it honestly and truthfully. Maybe they think they haven't really ever gone through any severe adversities or trials like Paul. And therefore, maybe Paul can say this, but I don't know if I can say it. So they say things like, I just don't know if I could handle that. I just don't know if I could do that. You, but I don't know about me. I don't know if I could be content in whatsoever state I am. I know what contentment is. I have experienced contentment, but I don't know if I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then, dear brother and sister, you and I need to hear, oh, but you can say these words. You can, because every child of God who is united to Christ by a living faith can and may say these words. The young Christian who has so far experienced nothing in the way of adversity but bumps and bruises, he or she can say it. The old Christian who has lived most of their lifetime already and experienced many, many things can say it. The middle-aged Christian can say it. Doesn't matter how many trials or how much life experience you've had, as a child of God, this is your confession and mine. Whether you're single or married, you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through Christ, I can and I will be able to be content in all things. Now, granted, you can grow in your confidence to say this confession as you experience the trials of life. You will discover that as you grow older. Our grandparents will surely tell us the stories of their lives and show how they, like Paul, learned contentment. You can have contentment, but you can also grow in contentment, and you can learn more and more to be content as you pass through the trials of life. Indeed, that's one of God's purposes for the trials of life. If we never suffer afflictions of any kind, then we aren't tested and purified and shaped through fire. When you have gold or silver and you take it out of the mountain, it's still got this rock around it, and you have to pass it through the fire to burn it and purify it. That's what God does with us. He cuts us out of the mountain of the human race, and we're still chock full of sin. So He sends us through the fires of affliction, and we learn contentment. And we learn more and more to say, I can do all things. I look at the past. God brought me through. Christ carried me through. He gave me the strength. And then when you face the future, You don't face it with dread and anxiety and uncertainty, but I can do all things, and I will, through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the saints of long ago, such as the Apostle, who have written of their lives and experiences through the inspiration of the Spirit and given to us the gift of the sacred Scriptures. And in this Bible, these glorious confessions that Thou dost give to us and place in our lips. So, Lord, may we go home today strengthened through Christ's gospel. And may we continue to grow in strength and to grow in contentment and joy and hope as we keep our faith fastened on our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.